Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to Sacred Symbols Plus, a PlayStation podcast supplement. Thank you for joining me today. My name is Colin Moriarty. Today I'm joined by a very special guest, the first guest to be on the show from South America, from Ecuador in particular, the Pacific touching country in South America. Christian, thank you for joining me today, my friend. How are you? Good to see you today.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Sacred Symbols, your beautiful audience, which I'm a part of, big fan. I'm here. Yeah, I'm very happy, very, very happy to be here to maybe provide some perspective to all this. I know you have a mostly US-based audience. There's some Europeans, there's probably some South Americans, Asians. But yeah, mostly US. And as you guys know, you get it. I assume you understand the sport as I understand American football, as I understand baseball. But I'm sure there's some things like when you start getting into the nitty gritty of stuff, maybe FIFA, maybe football, maybe the real stuff, football, and you guys just lose track. And I hope I can provide some perspective on that.
Well, I appreciate that. You had reached out because, and I like having audience members on the show when I can, when they can speak with authority on a certain subject. We used to do this with Fireside Chats back in the day. That show no longer exists. So we've kind of fused that with Sacred Symbols Plus where we can. And you reached out about a game that I bring up a lot. In fact, some people are puzzled why I bring it up so much. And it's because I think it's a big deal. And the game is eFootball, the new version of Pro Evolution Soccer from Konami that has gone free to play and is doing decently well as far as numbers is concerned in the United States, but is in the top 10 most played, and actually the top 5 most played free to play games in Europe. On PlayStation platforms, I am sure it's the same down in South America and Central America, if not even more, and elsewhere in the world. And I feel like it's a game that we need to pay attention to because it might be the mold for which other games start going free to play or doing something like this. I think it's a very wise and wily way to compete. You know, why not go after FIFA by just cutting their legs out from under them price wise, especially now that they're in flux? Yeah. So I appreciate you for reaching out. But I actually pulled up, Christian, your original message to me. And one of the things you say is you've been playing since ISS 98. So that's even before Pro Evolution Soccer. That's like the origins of the game. What was the game, the first game? I mean, I know it's called Winning 11, but what was it? What was the, there was like a random PlayStation 1 game that came out. Oh no, Goalstorm. That's what I was thinking of. That's like the original one, isn't it?
That's the OG one. That one goes all the way back to the SNES era. I didn't play that one. I did my research. I'm a journalism student. The final year of my career.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man. So I already have that process of, you know what? I'm going to research this thing. I'm going to research pretty well. I'm going to go through all of it. And there was a lot of stuff that I didn't knew actually about Pro Evolution and the history. I started playing in the PlayStation 1 days when the... That distinction, Winning 11 and Pro Evolution, first started as a regional distinction. So Europe and Japan will get Winning 11, and the rest of the world will get Pro Evolution Soccer. But there was a time around the PS2 era where Konami was like, well, we have to make up our mind, I guess. We have to choose one. And probably they did their research and found out Pro Evolution was more popular at that time. So there's this pretty important aspect. So nowadays, if you talk to a video game football fan, they're most likely a FIFA fan because that's what most people play. eFootball and best players were on a niche some sort. But all the way back to the PS2 era, Pro Evolution was the more popular game, mostly because it was, I'd say it was appealing to that aspect of the Saigas at that point. A lot of European football was very popular at that point. Premier League in England had just started getting tracked. The acquisition by that Russian guy that just
recently lost his team, right?
Yeah, that happened around that time. So Premier League started picking up. a lot of money was being spent on Premier League and in a lot of European leagues, and Pro Evolution capitalized on that, mostly because the game was pretty fucking good. The gameplay, even on the PS2, PS1 era, was so good. Like, that's the problem I have with FIFA, I'd say, because even to this day, when I pick up a controller and I play FIFA, I don't really feel that feedback, that physicality of football that I did feel even back to the PS1 days with Pro Evolution. They started to improve on it, improve, but Konami, being the company that Konami is, didn't really, I don't think they really saw the value in this until it was too late, because during the PS1 and PS2 era, Pro Evolution was dominating. FIFA couldn't touch it, even with all of its lightness that they already had, I'm pretty sure, all the way back to the PS1 days. They started building on those licenses. That's a pretty good, interesting aspect that I have a few things to say now, maybe after. But yeah, and so Konami starts losing track of the franchise and on the market around the PS3 era, because the transition for Konami games have always been a disaster, especially in PES. And I say that generational transition is the aspect that has caused the most to Pro Evolution, because they were on the top of the market on the PS2, transition to PS3 era, and FIFA, they already have a pretty good transition team, even though their game is not that good, but they transition into PS3, their transition is pretty good. Konami tries to do the same, but when Xbox 360 launches and there's the whole new generation thing around 2005. Konami doesn't really launch a new generation game. They just put PES 6 with more resolution on Xbox 360 and call it a day. And that was the first time that they did that. And that was like, oh man, they're really fucking up. I hope they don't do that, the same shit the next generation. The next generation, they did the same fucking shit. So it was, and then from that point, it becomes this cycle of Konami just being really stubborn, thinking that their game, from my perspective, from my opinion as a long time fan, from my perspective, I think they still feel they're on that spot a little bit, like on top of the market, even though they're not. They might think that the gameplay just is going to keep carry them for on and on and on, and that shit stopped carrying them a long time ago, because around the PS3 era, so FIFA have as much problem as I have with FIFA, I can safely say they know their shit, and they're gonna keep improving on it, and when they find something that works, they capitalize on it. Like, let's go back to the transitional period of PS2, PS3. So why was so bad for Pro Evolution? Because when the transition started, so they already lost a year. That was PES 6, and then they switched to yearly titles. So it was PES 6, and the next one was PES 2008. PES 2008 was supposed to have a mode that was called Be a Legend. Be a Legend had been introduced in FIFA the previous year. So from Konami's perspective, they have already been beaten to that feature, if you might. And they started working, but they couldn't get it on time. And at the end of the day, PES 2008 didn't come out with Be a Legend. And it was so bare bones that you could actually tell that they ran out of time. They ran out of time. And this cycle of having a feature, trying to work on it so you can launch with that feature on next gen, and you don't get it on time, the competition has already beaten you. And from that point, you start to try to catch up for the next of the generation. And that has been the story of Konami and Pro Evolution series from PS3, PS4, and now we're on PS5, and it's all over again. They tried to do something, they fucked up, and now they're trying to catch up.
Right, which is, I was going to say, I mean, it seems like when you lose a step, it's like in a race or anything like that, you have to catch that step up and then keep pace to still keep up, so you start falling further and further behind.
Yeah,
I wonder if you feel like, even though PES seems to have a reputation for solid, more realistic simulation-style gameplay as opposed to FIFA, do you think it's FIFA's embrace of popular culture that allowed them to store the money away in order to make the game better? In other words, do you think Konami has kind of ignored at its own peril the importance of the real game, even though they're replicating in physics the real game? Is that a big part of it, you think?
That's a huge part of it, because I'd say, so I've seen a couple of documentaries from the making of Pro Evolution, and you can tell. You can tell that those guys fucking love football. They love it. They love it. They love it. They love it. They breathe and sleep football. So, and you can tell even in the game that despite the budget aspects, the budget limitations of the game, you can tell that there's a lot of passion in that. There's a lot of passion for football in the making of Pro Evolution. But it comes to a point where passion's not really the driving force in a game like this, especially in free-to-play. In free-to-play, you have to feed content. If you don't do that, and the competition is actually feeding content, then you're just falling behind. So, all right, let's put a practical example. Yeah, this one's perfect. So, around, 1 week, 2 weeks ago, it was supposed to be the end of season one of eFootball 2022. There was a in the main menu, there was a the recent events tab. So there you can see what's new. And the main one was season one, the huge banner of season one, and a timer of days and hours running back. So the timer would be around, if I'm not mistaken, the 28th that just passed. And
of May.
May. On that day, everyone was like, the veterans of the community were like, you know, guys, you shouldn't be expecting anything, actually. You shouldn't be expecting season two. You shouldn't be expecting. There was people that were actually expecting new features like co-op or the Master League. That it's a huge aspect of Pro Evolution. It's the main offline mode that people play. I used to be a Master League main player. I didn't used to play online at all. So I get those people. I understand their struggle. But from the news we recently got, that shit's not coming until the next year. So they're really falling behind. So that day, everyone was like, you know, guys, let's see when the server comes up. Because that's another thing. Which game in 2022, a free-to-play game, do you know that goes on server maintenance twice a week for several hours?
Yeah.
The server's just down. Imagine that you come after a hard day of work. You don't follow the blog. You don't follow the news. You just come. You wanna play your favorite football game. You pick up a couple of beers. And you turn on your PS4 and the server's on maintenance. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, that's annoying as shit. That's super annoying.
Yeah. So that night, that actually happened on a much more worse scale to a streamer that everyone was expecting. A lot of people were expecting season two. And we're waiting for the server to come up, and there was actually a blog post that was, you know, it's knocked under the rug by Konami. You know, it was like, you know, guys, season one's over. We're still doing a lot of work. Don't expect season two. And there was this this attitude coming from the veterans of the series that know that Konami is going to fuck us, and at every chance they have, even if they don't mean to, they're going to fuck us. But on that night, Konami actually put some info there, a lot of stuff. But the main thing was that ranked mode the main mode that was being played, you know, the seasonal mode, it was over. And they was like, you know, guys, we're going to have season two. Maybe we're going to have a big maintenance from, it was like 4 days, 4 or 5 days on the 29th. And yeah, we'll see you guys for season two on the 16th. Bye. And everyone was like, what the fuck? There was this streamer that was like, you guys think you have it bad? I called sick for my job. I had a fucking six pack of beers like right here to stream 12 hours and Konami just pulled this shit.
Yeah, that's really strange. I mean,
yeah.
It shows that they, from a games dev standpoint, that they, well, it shows, I've often used this example of at IGN, our back end was so fucked up, they used to call it a ball of rubber bands, and to get the little rubber bands undone, you have to undo all the big rubber bands first, and they probably have a pretty fucked up game, especially because they were scaling it from mobile upwards.
Yeah, that's another aspect.
So, but a part of me feels bad for you, Christian, because obviously this is a game you love. It's insufficient. Part of me is also like, well, unlike every other Konami fan, you are at least getting something, right?
Yeah.
No one else is getting anything from Konami. So,
yeah.
So part of me is jealous of you. It's like, oh, I would take a shitty Castlevania game right now, probably, if I can get one. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about, because going back to the original message you wrote to me,
yeah,
you said you're in the top 1% of ranked players,
yeah,
in eFootball 2022. And so I'm curious, when this game has a bad reputation outside, right? It has like a 20 something on Metacritic and all of that. But
yeah,
I know based on the download charts, and actually I'm looking at Steam right now, and eFootball is the third biggest football game on the platform. Not a huge surprise. Beyond FIFA 22 and Football Manager, which is a simulation or more of a management game, so I don't even count that. So people are playing it. Lots and lots of people are playing it still. What's the scene like when you're in there? I mean, talk to me a little bit about what it's like to be an eFootball player and how that might contrast with the FIFA scene, if you could even do that. Because FIFA seems to be much more about Ultimate Team and all of this. It seems more casual in some way, which is nothing wrong with that. But talk to me about what it's like to be a PES player or an eFootball player. At that level.
Excuse me. I say, yeah. Right. So I can actually do a comparison because my cousin, who I share a room with, he is a pretty high MMR player in FIFA. He's younger than me. So I kind of understand that this thing is mostly a generational thing because, like I said, until from 2000 to, I'd say, 2010, 11, that was Pro Evolution years. If you didn't play Pro Evolution, you were mocked.
Interesting.
Yeah. So then it started transitioning because FIFA, like, as you said, they realized that they can't compete on the same level in the pitch with Pro Evolution. That's actually a pretty interesting aspect. The eFootball model, actually, it was before the Pro Evolution model around, I have it in my notes, I think it's 2015. Yeah, 2015. They introduced the model, the pitch is ours. And they started running with it. And when they launched eFootball 2022, they dropped it. And then the whole debacle happened, and they updated, and they started fixing the game, and they actually went back to this model. So it is actually a pretty big deal that as FIFA started introducing more and more and more and more features, more licenses, and starting to appeal more to that, you know, that zeitgeist aspect of the football,
yeah,
you know, the celebrations, yeah, the all of that.
Yeah, the merch and the gear and all that. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I don't get that stuff at all. I get the appeal, but I don't that doesn't really appeal.
You're a purist. You care about the game. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
I get that.
So as they started transitioning, as they start adding more and more stuff, they were refining the football aspect as well. And it came to a point where the football was actually pretty enjoyable. It is more pacey, is more skill based. So there's you can see, I actually put this example a lot of times because in eFootball, when you know when a player is coming from FIFA, when he catches the ball and he starts to do those tricks with the sticks, like 20 of them in the same spot, like that's a FIFA player. And yeah, so they appeal more and more and more. And coming back to what you originally mentioned, being a top player, I'd say they take the game much more seriously on the game aspect. FIFA top players, from my experience, they actually do take the game pretty seriously. And it's a much more unrealistic approach, because you're gonna see a lot of meta formations from...
Yeah, like arcade versus sim.
Yeah. In football, in real football, you're almost never gonna see like maybe a team of 4 defenders, 1 midfield, and 4 attackers. You're almost never gonna see that. But in FIFA, that's a pretty reliable strategy. If I'm not wrong, that was meta for a while. Stuff like that. That's the main difference, I'd say. It is a little bit of a new thing for me, because as I said, I was mostly an offline player until a few years ago. It actually was because of the pandemic, So I'm from South America, so here the economic level is lower. Down here in Ecuador, we actually do use the dollar, but the basic salary is $450. So not much.
Right.
And that's why I'm not a common example, but I try to buy I buy all my games original digitally. And I started to doing that when I bought a PS3. And Sony is pretty good with those bargains, and that's actually how I got pretty much every single Pro Evolution. They launch in September, September, October, August, and around 6 months later, the game is already half price. And if a sale comes, the game is $20, and that's where I bought the game. Most years, so it came 2019. I bought eFootball 2020, half price. I played my Master League like every single year. But a hero of my club, the FIFA Ultimate Team Parallel, and it was pretty good. It was pretty good. You could see, like I said, the budgetary restrictions of it. There's not a lot of things to do besides just play, get players, get points, renew those players, keep playing. But it was pretty fun. I had already joined late in the season, so I couldn't get a good team. I got a shitty team. I got my ass beating every single game. I still had a lot of fun. The next year, I was like, you know what? This game's pretty fun. Konami's not going to launch a complete game. That was the year that they launched... PES 2021 season update.
They
launched it at half price, and I was like, holy shit, I guess I'm buying it day one this year. And that's some of the aspects that I say, that you could tell that they are very, very big football fans. Like they put available this club editions. Like, I don't know, I'm a big Barcelona fan. Huge Barcelona fan. So there was this Football Club Barcelona edition with, I was like, yeah, that's for me. But it was also for Juventus, Bayern, Arsenal. So they tried to appeal to different leagues. And that's the aspect that I'd say, you know, how they approach to it, that they are very big football fans, but despite the budgetary constrictions. So that year, I started playing. I got into the meta. I quit before the pandemic. Yeah, I quit the online aspect before the pandemic. I got a job at my hometown. So I went back. I started, you know, the pandemic starts. I have to come back here to the capital. And
what is it, Quito? Is that the capital? Is that how you say
Quito,
it?
Quito. Yeah. Quito. Yeah. I'm from Riobamba. It's a much, much smaller city. Very, very beautiful. I love it. So I come back, I started playing, you know, I started winning. I understand the game finally. I started to research the meta and what's most effective. And what's most effective in football, most times it is the most effective tactic in eFootball. So that's a very big aspect for me as a football fan. So if I see something that I'm watching on a match and I see the coach tell something that to this player that do this specific thing, and that specific thing actually makes the whole team work better, like, and you try to do that thing in PES and it actually works, that's just another level. That's just fantastic.
That's awesome.
That's the best thing for me.
There's something about EA games that, just in my experience with Madden and NHL over many years, where, though I don't play either anymore, but it's, you're not playing the real game. You can, by the time you're done with an NHL or Madden game, you can exploit the shit out of the game so badly that I remember in the SNES and PS1 era, I would often undo teams and try to put in like your third string goalie, your worst players, and try to play the game straight up because you're winning like 25-0 after a while. And it's, there's just something arcadey about EA's games, which I totally respect, but they don't, I would love a Madden game or an NFL game that somehow understood football better at a mechanical level. And I think we are going to get that game now that they've kind of spread the love with some of these sports licenses that EA specifically has nailed down. But I totally understand what you're saying, because I would be more appealing. I watch hockey, I watch a lot of football, being able to see and but what's funny also is that Madden, when I was a kid, taught me everything I know about football, probably, you know, playbooks and all that stuff, the teams, the players, just absorbing all of that stuff. I'm curious. Well, I guess this is a two-prong question. I'll start with this. How do you feel about FIFA renaming and rebranding itself? Because now it seems like it's going to be an even bigger, or it's going to try to be an even bigger force. If you read behind the scenes, Andrew Wilson and the guys at EA say FIFA has constrained that franchise and not allowed them to even reach the incredible amount of licensing opportunities, leagues and players that they might not have access to, etc. Do you think FIFA or EA Football Club, which will now be called, do you think it'll pose a greater threat to eFootball's viability? Is there anything there that you're interested in now that you know the game's going to be even more dynamic? Or is it fair to say, because you're not into all the bells and whistles, that kind of shit doesn't really appeal to you anyway?
I say it depends on EA. If they go free to play and if they maintain the same cycle of content that they do with their FIFA games, I think Konami's fucked. There's no way they can compete on the same level if they both games are free to play. Because let's come back to that example.
No evidence that's going to happen yet, but I do think that this is the first step.
I do think that as well.
Yeah.
So let's come back to that example that I gave you of the big maintenance of eFootball. So I went back to check my notes. It was on the 22. The 22, this announcement comes, the big maintenance was for the 29th. The previous day was the Champions League final. So that's a pretty big aspect. eFootball did have a little bit of an event for that. But if you go to FIFA, those days, there's this huge fucking banner of the Champions League final. And those days the eFootball was down, FIFA 22 was the PS Plus free game for the previous month. And besides that, they also had a FIFA Ultimate Team booster pack or something for PS Plus as well. So if you go to FIFA 22, if you went to FIFA 22 on those days and you opened Ultimate Team, there was always this banner of the Champions League and this little thing of claim your reward, your PS Plus reward, claim it. And after you did the basic things and claim all the packs that they gave you, you have a pretty good team, and you, I'd assume you feel pretty good and you start playing. That's what I think they wanted, because EA is not dumb. EA is fucking cutthroat. If they see that Konami is pulling all these dumb things, like, they're gonna go for the throat. Like, they made the FIFA 22 the PS Plus game of the month. On those days, the eFootball was down, and there was the whole discussion around the Champions League final. FIFA 22 was an 84% discount on its team.
Yeah, I mean that's just smart marketing, you know. And it is interesting that they pulled eFootball down during this pivotal time in global soccer. What do you think about now? The second prong of the question is with the FIFA name, kind of FIFA itself is saying that they're going to make their own game.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen at a AAA level. I don't think they understand what they're talking about if they think that's going to happen. But do you think that, would you want to see FIFA glom onto eFootball? Would you want to see Take-Two, which apparently is interested in maybe starting a soccer game themselves, since they dominate NBA and wrestling, that they might want to do something like that? How do you feel about kind of FIFA freelancing now? It's out there. But is it valuable?
I actually did was thinking about pretty hard about that. First, you can. People that don't understand FIFA as an organization, they go and like, why they were asking all that money from EA? What are they thinking? Like, you have to understand that this was something that Chris mentioned on the show. Like, FIFA is a pretty scummy organization. They're so corrupt. So corrupt.
You could see that with the Qatar World Cup.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
Like you have this respect banners, these stand against racism and pro LGBTQ, and you go and give the World Cup to Qatar. Logic, I guess.
That was so weird.
Yeah. So yeah, but coming back to the other aspect. So you have FIFA as an organization that's so scummy, that's so corrupt, dealing with EA on these long-term deals. I checked. The last EA deal with FIFA was around 2013, 2012. So at that point, PES and FIFA were already like, they're battling it out. FIFA is starting to pick up track, but they don't have the whole market like they have it right now. The FIFA Ultimate Team wasn't even really that popular at that point. At that point, Pro Evolution doesn't really have a FIFA Ultimate Team counterpart. So all those aspects that I assume made the deal at that time a lot less valuable. But you have nowadays the context of FIFA Ultimate Team being the biggest game on Earth. You have the aspect of EA being a pretty big company. Like everyone loves to hate on EA, but they have grown a lot from in this, I don't know, 10 years.
I agree.
Yeah. It's not comparable.
Yeah, they don't really make very much that I care about, but they are not the same company during that consumerist worst company in the world stuff. That was a different era for them.
They're much bigger, I'd say. From the FIFA perspective, they probably looked at those things, and you add the corrupt aspect of them, and you can probably tell, like, yeah, they went in that room and they really did ask for that much money because they really did think that they had that much leverage in that deal. But and a little bit of not really understanding the video game world in per se, I'd say
they definitely don't. The way they're talking about making a new game shows that they have no idea what they're talking
about. Infantino doesn't really know what the fuck.
No, I mean, the way that they're like, we're going to make the best, most authentic soccer game, and I'm like, I don't think you understand how expensive that is to do.
It legit sounded like a Trump rally. Like,
no, totally, yeah. Like,
just gonna be the biggest and the best one.
Yeah, it's surprising because FIFA has been so intimately involved with that particular product for so long. You think they would have some sort of production insight into what is ultimately billions of dollars dumped into the development of that game. And you can tell Electronic Arts was not happy about the way they were being treated because they were leaking everything. I mean, that was when I first started seeing all of those back and forth where they had a complete transcription of a behind the scenes meeting at EA about how fucked the situation was. I'm like, oh my God, this thing is done, because
they went,
that would have never
up.
Happened if otherwise. So I totally agree with you. And yeah, I think the money they were asking for is comical. EA probably laughed at them and said, like, do you have any idea how much work we do for this game? You serve almost no function. And now we're going to see. Now we will see if it matters. Do you think it'll matter? Do you think that they'll suffer at all for not having the FIFA name? Or does it? FIFA players are savvy enough to know it's just going to be called something else, right? Like, they don't give a shit.
From what I've seen, FIFA players actually understand how scummy FIFA as an organization is. So
right.
they understand that EA is the one that makes the game. And they probably understand that after FIFA 23, EA Football Club 24 is going to be pretty much the best game in the market. If they suffer, it's going to come when their licenses agreements actually start coming to an end. Because from my understanding, EA stayed in bed for so long with FIFA because they actually were building a lot of these licenses. Because if you go back to the PS1, PS2 days, they did have a lot of licenses, but not as much as they have right now. And they even took a few licenses away from PES. Like Champions League used to be PES exclusive.
Hmm.
The Champions League equivalent of South America, Copa Libertadores and Copa Sudamericana, used to be Pro Evolution exclusive, and nowadays you can only find it on FIFA. So all of that has been building alongside the years, I'd say when you start actually seeing those deals start coming to an end and you don't have the FIFA as an organization, like that big brother alongside EA that comes to the negotiation table, that's gonna be interesting. We're gonna see if EA can actually, you know, talk one-on-one to the Premier League, to La Liga, to Ligue 1, to all of those European organizations, and if they can actually understand the same level of speaking. Because, yeah, FIFA doesn't really understand the video gaming world, but they do understand the football world, the whole shaking hands under the tables
yeah.
aspect.
Yeah, the back slapping and all that kind of shit.
All
yeah.
of that, they yeah. are specialists on that, and I'm sure they were a big factor in EA getting all of those licenses. So that's when I see my opinion is gonna be the interesting point. We're gonna see if EA can actually do their shit, or if they're just video game developers.
They must have some level of confidence that they can do it on their own. I wonder if there is. I don't know anything about soccer, really. But I wonder if there is some sort of collective angst against the FIFA brand, not the game, but FIFA itself, where companies are going to be eager to be like, yeah, fuck them. Let's just do our own unilateral or bilateral deal with each other. Because I think I was reading something like, couldn't EA literally not use Adidas or something weird like that in their games? Because
yeah,
that's not allowed in FIFA, or that's not sponsored by FIFA. So they had all these conflicts that I imagine will make the game more realistic when they are out of there, right? So I think the benefits will outweigh the negatives for them, but they must have some level of confidence. But you're right. I mean, FIFA can go around and start securing rights and licenses, even exclusive licenses, that could screw them a
yeah,
great deal.
So an example of this, I'd say, so you go back to a few years ago. Let's put an example, Premier League. The Premier League had this... During the matches, these banners that you say the sponsors banners on the pitch,
right?
But on the transmission on the TV transmission, you could actually see the alongside the score, like little also promotional banners. FIFA, they actually were pretty fucking smart. They went around FIFA, the EA game. They were pretty fucking smart about this thing, because they went around FIFA, the organization, and they started making deals with all of the leagues, not to put FIFA as the title in those banners, but to put, you know, EA Sports. And if the referees' uniforms, they have EA Sports. So I think they have been thinking about this for a long time now.
Yeah, like subtly marking the game.
Yeah,
right?
They're not dumb. Like I say,
no,
they're
not
dumb at all.
So talk to me about, I'm curious about this mechanically with eFootball. Where is the money being made? How do you spend money on eFootball? Can you explain that?
Yeah, pretty much the same as FIFA, through players. The Konami doesn't really know how to do progression-based content,
okay,
like FIFA does. FIFA does have this pack opening, but they also have a pretty strong grind aspect. Like if you don't want to pay, you can grind, and you can pretty much get a very strong team, because I've seen it. My cousin, he's a very high MMR player in FIFA. I know he has spent a few dollars on FIFA, but mostly he gets those strong players through the rewards. In PES, in eFootball, you can get those players through the rewards, but there's no a system that you can, you know what, there's these targets that I can keep playing, I'm gonna get these points, and this amount of points, I can finally get that player that I have really wanted for a long time. Not really, because it comes to a point where the content and the playing content it's not logic with the rewards. Like when you run out of content and you start playing the same events, when you win them, you get a 100 GP. Just to compare it, Lionel Messi is 1,100,000 GP. that's not logical.
So you have to play 10,000 times or something like that.
Yeah, when you run out of events, like that's ridiculous. How you actually expect me to grind so much for 100 GP each time?
That's insane. Yeah.
But the paying aspect, that's where the paying aspect actually comes. There's this update content all weeks, every week, I mean, where Konami puts these packs, legend packs, and feature player packs that have of players that have played pretty well on the week, and that's pretty much it. You open those feature player packs that you can only open three of them, because all of the players in that pack are special, so you can only open three, and you get the legend box that's 150 players, $1 each spin. So yeah, if you want to clear the box, $150.
Yeah, it's interesting. So it's funny because free to play does scratch the itch of what I always talk about, which is time is money. Like you can't, the grind is to compel you, but you can see the way that all of these different companies are reworking their numbers. Gran Turismo is very controversial right now with the way they're reworking all their credits, that they quite haven't found the balance yet between gratuitous and reasonable. And I wanted to ask you this question as we begin to wrap up, which is, would you prefer that this game had remained paid? I mean, would you have rather just paid up front for this game, or do you feel like you're getting value out of it in its free-to-play mode? Because if your answer is the latter, which is fine, then that means Konami probably made the right choice in going free-to-play. But I know that with the few free-to-play games I've interacted with, I always think about Plants vs. Zombies 2, which is so long ago now. But when I downloaded that, I was like, can you just let me pay for it? And it was like, no, we're going to constantly harass you forever, the entire time you play it, for money. And I'm like, I'll literally give you more money than you would ever get out of me right now if you would just let me pay for it and leave me alone. And so I'm just curious what you think about that balance. I think there are going to be more series that come to this. I think eFootball is a kind of a canary in the coal mine. I wouldn't be surprised if a game, I don't want to say Call of Duty or something like that, although it's already gone free to play, but there are going to be big franchises that go free to play. The Division is going free to play later this year, for instance. So talk to me about that option. Do you like, not in quotes, paying, or would you rather pay for a better, more confident product?
How can I put it? So I'd say I understand both perspectives. I do think Konami made the right choice by going free to play, by trying to go and hurt FIFA where it hurts. By going free to play, you actually could see that when eFootball launched, the first launch, the disastrous launch, and the second one, there were a lot of FIFA players and a lot of FIFA streamers streaming the game, because there is from my understanding, there is some animosity in the FIFA Ultimate Team community towards the game, because there's not that much variation in the whole game aspect, and they're starting to get annoyed, they're starting to get bored. That's natural as a game that you play every single day. But from my perspective, I would have preferred if the game stayed paid, because it's just not comparable. Because I actually put money into the game. There was the other day the thread on Discord of Sacred Symbols, where it deranged into shame numbers of video game time.
Oh,
I was the Dota 2 guy with 4.4k hours.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's a lot of time.
I in that game I actually reached high MMR as well. And that's an aspect of me as a gamer that I enjoy a lot. I really enjoy dominating a game. Like that, I know it's not easy, and I actually love that feeling of, you know what, this is not easy, but I dominate. I am sure pretty fucking good at it. And in Dota, there was this. There's not monetization of content. Like, you get all the heroes by up front, but you can personalize them and use the Steam market, where an item can go all the way to 1 cent, all the way to, I think they raise it to $4K. So my main character has this huge skin that was personalized. If you sum up all the items, it went all the way to, I think, $250-$300.
Wow.
That was when I was like really, really deep into that. So yeah. So that's why I can say that I understand both perspectives. If the game is free to play and the game is pretty fucking good and I enjoy going, I don't mind spending money so I can enjoy it a little bit more and, you know, support it. But I can also understand that there's a game that has been 20 plus years running and not everyone enjoys the online aspect. I'd say there's a lot of people that enjoy mostly the offline aspect and they don't have anything. They're fucked. If I put myself in those shoes, I would say like, yeah, just give me the game. I'll gladly pay 20, 30, 40 if you give me the full game. But
yeah, it's interesting because there's no doubt that the most compelling way to compete in this modern market is to make your game free. It's also true that once you make that move, you can't go back.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think it's so dangerous. Like, I'm sure they exist, but I can't think of any games that started free to play and then they're like, now we're going to start charging you for them. So once you make that decision, I feel like it's, you know, why I'm so interested in what EA does. Cause I do agree that EA Football Club is the first step towards making that game a platform of some sort, where they can't ignore the money of yearly releases, but at the same time, if you just compel your player, your fans rather, to spend more money throughout the year, and then every year you release a big roster update and charge for that or something like that, then I don't know. Like, I just feel like I wanted to talk to you, Christian, because I feel like I'm a big sports fan. I don't know why there isn't more sports and video game crossover. I think that's weird.
Yeah.
People are always like sports ball and shit. I'm like, go fuck yourself. I love hockey. I love football. I love these things. And they're such a natural marriage with each other. And I feel like free to play, as much as I'm scared of it, is sports is just the most natural place to be for it. I think eFootball is ahead of the game with that. What do you have to say about that?
I think EA might actually take a play from Konami's handbook, because Konami, if you start thinking about it, Konami has already made PES and eFootball free to play before. Every single year since they have introduced MyClub, FIFA Ultimate Team's parallel, around December, January, around those months, they released PES Lite. It was only the MyClub aspect, and it was free to play. So they understand it. I often describe Konami as a person with two brains. Like, you have the development brain and the business brain. And the development brain, they do their shit. They do. They're really good at it. They might not always get the support they need, but they're really good at it. But the development brain, I mean the marketing brain, doesn't really understand the other side, and it'll be like, yeah, guys, you keep in that, and we're gonna go keep marketing. And I say Konami gives a lot more money to the other side, because you, from the licenses that eFootball gets, you can see that they actually do go and spend some money, because being a, what are they, are like a global premier partner of Barcelona and a platinum partner of Bayern Munich, and those deals are not cheap, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure they're not. No, it's so interesting, because that's what I'm so fascinated about with soccer, and what's so intimidating about it in some way is just how global it is. Like, the hockey's really global, of course, but NFL football, it takes place in America. Nothing else that happens anywhere else in the world. There are 32 relevant teams. That's it, in one league. And so you don't have to go out and freelance like that. And then there's a players association that literally represents all of them, right? Yeah, so that's what's so difficult is getting, right? I would imagine is getting the players and the, that's so complicated.
Yeah.
It's impossible, it sounds like.
I actually admire a lot, because they go out of their way to provide eFootball. I mean, they go out of their way to provide fans some pretty good unlicensed content, because their most recent addition in terms of licenses is the MLS, but they don't have the if you go to eFootball, they don't have the MLS. Like, yeah, we have the Major League Soccer. No, they put some very weird names, like North American Football League, something like that. And from my understanding, they didn't went to and talk to the MLS. They went and talked to the players' associations, and they got the players' likenesses and names. And from there, it's much, much easier to provide that. And that's a thing that I completely miss. Licenses, as important as they are in the football game world, PES and eFootball has deal with that pretty well. There's this, until the previous year, there was this pretty robust edit mode that you could, I'd call it a soft modding tool, because you take a flash drive and you put it to the PS4, and the PS4 starts reading all the images, and you have all the teams with the real uniforms, with the sponsors, and all the leagues have the sponsors in the banner. Like, they get it. They actually do get it. They understand how important it is. They can't provide it directly, but they until the previous year, all they did was provide the tools to the community, and we did the rest. And the final product was pretty fucking good.
Yeah,
that's
right on.
It's built with license.
It's been interesting to learn more about eFootball, because some people are like, why are you always bringing this up? And I'm like, because I think it's an obviously relevant game. It's kind of like PUBG was to Battle Royale, where I just feel like, well, eFootball might not be the biggest thing in a few years in free to play sports, but it's going to be something that no doubt the publishers are analyzing. And so I wanted to understand more about it. And I appreciate you coming on the show to explain a little bit more about it.
Thank
Christian,
you,
where can people find you online if you'd like them to? Some people don't want to be able to be found.
Yeah, I'm mostly a lurker, but if you want to, I don't know, see me cursing at my screen at my players, Rabbit7198 on Twitch. I stream PlayStation games. I'm a very, very big PlayStation fan. Have always been.
Awesome. How's PS5 availability down there?
Man, it's trash.
Yeah, I bet.
I actually saw the first PlayStation 5 in person until a couple of weeks ago, when I went to a shopping mall that's a couple of blocks away from my home. There was in this PS5 on exhibit just right there, and I go and check the price, $1,500.
Yeah, that's... Dude, there's something, I mean, I know Brazil has it the worst apparently in South America because of their ridiculous tariffs that make all their consoles like $5,000, but I think it's pretty bad at other places too.
It's so bad, man. If you want to go and watch my streams, I play on PS4 Pro.
Right on, man. Well, I appreciate you first Ecuadorian guest to come on the show. Appreciate you, Christian. It's nice to meet you, and it's nice to have you on the show. Maybe we'll have you back in the future to talk more about this stuff. And thank you all out there for your love, kindness, and support of all things Sacred Symbols Plus. We couldn't do it without you, trying to touch a wide range of games, a wide range of experiences, voices, and all of that on Sacred Symbols Plus. So hope you're feeling it. Let us know. We'll see you next time. Until then, goodbye. Sacred Symbols, a PlayStation podcast, is a product and trademark of Last Stand Media and Collins Last Stand LLC, and is proudly recorded in the USA. The show is conceived by, is written by, and is directed by me, Colin Moriarty. My co-hosts are Chris Raygun Maldonado and Dustin Furman. The show is produced by executive producer Dustin Furman. It's edited by associate producer Ben Smith. All of Last Stand's theme music is by my best friend, Ramon Narvaez. As you know, all of Last Stand's shows, including Sacred Symbols, are fan-funded on Patreon at patreon.com/laststandmedia. The following names are at the producer level on Patreon, our highest tier, and we're grateful for your thoughtful and kind contributions to our independent endeavor. Thank you. Casual Misfits Gaming, Andrew Morgan, Steven Nieder, Ross Marenka, Miguel A. Brewer, Morgan Ashley, Azan, Michael Vecchio, Jerome Ferreira, SLDFMA, Daniel Diamore, Brad Cooley, Jeremy Key, Patrick Leslie, Malachi Wall, Dave Cowell, Donald John Vaders, Tom Quinn, Steven Innerfield, Dallas Pastor, Eduardo Perez, Salty Trees, My Name is Effing Mayo, Logan Byford, GJ, Eddie Medina, Jason R. Zahn, Christopher Nogg, Zeno Adam, Grayson Maxwell, Cody Woodall, Nuclear Prostate, Sorta Serious Gaming, Colin Farley, Mark Arnold, Zia Parix, Henry Groth, Relentless Rex, Tristan Palacios, Drew Mullen, Graham Plays, Christian R., Jad Rita, Benjamin Moon, Patrick Skipper, Brian Hernandez Espinoza, Sweaty Mitt, Chris Kelly, Remington Wilson, Dustin Graff, Peyton Stone, Jalapeno, Josh Allen Rui, Tyler Watkins, Michael Buffel, Dan Root, Asek Parides, Talisman, Christopher Morgan, Randall Hulsey, Robbie Nauman, Nuke Dukem, William Holbert, Josh Godfrey, Kalike Souza, Vornak, Betty Ann Moriarty, Daniel Johnson, H-Trons, Antonio C., Jay Getter, Assassinated Devil, Bjorn Campbell, Jeff Mercado, Gregory Slavinsky, Jordan Gale of Fortuna, John Zeal, Boots, Tyler Brown, Megadeth, Poot, Gavin Newland, Alex Lapierre, Saul Balcazar, Brian White, Raul Melendez, Eric Harden, Alex Bolton, Matt Flowers, Kinnams, Mark Kearney, Joseph Baker, Rodney Coleman, Cruxes, Chris Moore, Caswell, Antti Kinnanen, Chris, Dave Alvarez, Will Hernandez, Chris Galvin, Justin Gonzalez, Mason Cadillac, Ollie Fritz, Zach Allum, Kyle Hagel, Colin Love, Daryl E. Naiman, Ryan R. Kittredge, Toby Ryland, Michael S., David Bostick, Stewie108, Patrick Montgomery, Simon Dunbar, Dowell Rodriguez, DB Cooper, Fat Houdini, Richter86, Ian Bravo, Barrett Boswell, Christopher DeVio, Chris Morton, Johnny Waffles, Roto24, Jonathan Coach, Sean Mason, Josh Gravelick, Brian Chan, Organic Produce, Shane St. Pierre, Carlos Algarit, Dominic, Mike Menzel, Richard Hebert III, Miranda Grubba, Josh Yeager, Martin Beck, Gavin, Joey Andrzejczyk, Nathan R., Joe McPartland, Gary Cavallo, Christopher Moore, Jacob Bell, Dennis Usel, Lou and Ray Loper, Jonathan Cortez, Dylan Burns, Jason Lusky, John Schultz, David Chestnut, Anton K., Alan Tremblay, Tyler Bello, Ryan T. Mandel, Tony Zuniga, Sean Battershaw, Robbie Hensley, Alex Cabrera, Lennon Brixey, Hugo's Desk, Peter Reynolds, Anthony Vasquez, Adam Kinniston, The Rose Experience and Grizzled Veterans Media, Tyler Goodwin, William O'Carroll, Jorge Powell, Max Cannon, Phil Crone, Throw 7, Adam Nix, Josh McKinney, Michael Gates, Alex Gates, Ryan Robertson, Sean Chandler, Lockmore, Gio Corsi, Joey Gonhaliger, Gerald Pennington, Justin Payne, Justin Wagaman, David Iacolucci, Paul Joyce, Chad Lewis, Enrique Perez, Joshua Smallwood, Spencer Brand, Don Lee, John Cordero, Andrew, Keith A. Lewis, Ashley Carlson, Marius Carson Peterson, Ryan Greenwood, Tyler Harris, Matthew Perdue, Patrick Carper, Mad Mock Media, and Jonathan Rice.